There would have been a lot of flying boats out there. There's about 15 flying boats out there, all moored, waiting for refueling. So it would have been a real busy sight out there, you know, refueler barges going out just as the tide was coming in. And yeah, I could just see images of the kids that were playing on the wings, and the women and children that were sort of out trying to get some air on a balmy, hot March morning.
For people who are unfamiliar with the history, Dion, could you explain why there were so many women, children, young men on flying boats in Roebuck Bay?
Yeah, they were all fleeing the Dutch East Indies, which is Java known as today, and as the Japanese invasion was pending, and they were getting out before the invasion, which was only a matter of the next day, pretty well was invaded. So they were all out there trying to join their families. A lot of them were Army, Air Force and military families. So they brought just some basic belongings and were out there waiting to get them flown off to Perth.
What happened next?
Well, unfortunately for them, the 90 fighters with one reconnaissance, BABS reconnaissance plane, flew over over the bay. Then there was three that took upper cover just in case there was attack from the airfield from fighters scrambled. And yeah, they started strafing the flying boats one by one, and they were using 20mm cannon fire as well as machine gun fire. So it was quite devastating. It wasn't long before the whole bay was a bay of fire.
That is horrific to think about. And with so many women and children, refugees fleeing the impending war, they must have felt that they were safe in beautiful Roebuck Bay at the time, and then suddenly the war was upon them. What was going on in a bigger picture to make this moment happen?
Well, I guess in a big picture, the Japanese were trying to attack any air bases that were supporting the Allies, and they were unawares actually of how many flying boats were here at the time, and they just wanted to take out Broome. They knew it was an area of aircraft gatherings, and that's where a lot of aircraft was going to, so they figured to try and attack that particular placement. There was a lot of bravery on the bay at the time. There was a local Aboriginal man, Charles Dan Coyne. Helped rescue women and children. There was Lieutenant Bo Davis from the Royal Australian Navy, which is him. He wasn't even mentioned either. Lester Brain, which has ended up being a Qantas first GM of Qantas, he was there as well, attending to the Qantas flying boats, and they helped rescue. And there's more people involved, of course, but they didn't get any medals apart from the Dutch. The Dutch did give the medals to all those three men I mentioned.
There are many names on the memorial behind us this morning, Dion, and I know you have a particular interest in Broome history. Many of these names have taken on a more personal meaning to you. You've had connections with the families, as have many in the Broome community. Can you just outline some of the personal stories that have come to light over these years?
Well, the personal story for me, like myself and Jim Miles have been looking for the Liberator that was shot down off our coast. There's reports from 22 to 33 men aboard that aircraft. I'm in contact with 13 family members, and some of them have actually tracked me down, which has been great. The latest from Corporal Herbert McDonald contacted me recently, and they are just amazed to know that there's something being done about it. To try and find the lost aircraft, and for them it's going to be a closure thing when we do find the aircraft. We hopefully will commence, we're commencing searches this year.
So this was the plane that took off from the Broome Airport,
yes,
just ahead of the raid, and then ditched into the sea. What happened? Why?
Well, though mainly American service personnel, which were fleeing from the Philippines, most of them were wounded, and they were going to Perth to seek medical attention. And they had just taken off, and the Zero fighters had actually seen the plane airborne. It was probably about 600 foot off the ground to 1,000 feet when it was hit. One survivor off the aircraft, they hit the overhead fuel tanks, and the sole survivor talks about laying in the bomb bay doors waiting for it to all end, and all he can remember is the greenish water coming up at him. And then the pilot had successfully ditched the aircraft. And there was about 15 men getting pulled out of the nose of this aircraft. But a lot of men were burnt and injured, probably particularly to the rear of the plane. So it was a time of turmoil. It took him 2 days to swim back to shore, and then get to the airfield that late one evening. So It's a horrific story, and there's a lot of people don't realise how much. Also, the diamond plane up at Carnup Bay. I mean, that's another tragedy of four lives lost, all in that same day.
So very important that we come out every 3rd of March on a balmy, hot, steamy broom morning to remember those who fell and those who showed courage.
Yes, Vanessa, that's correct. And it's, my heart goes out. You just look out across that beautiful turquoise bay and it's hard to imagine that there was such destruction there on that day.